Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey, virtual assistants, hype or help? Yes, I said virtual assistants. That's what we're chatting about. In fact, did you even know that they're around in our profession? How cool is that? And I can't think of anyone else better to talk about this than our wonderful friend, Kelly Cronin in the house. Welcome, Kelly.
I'm so excited to be on. Thank you.
Thank you for being here. And thank you for all the great work we had. Before we went live, we were talking about we were on a podcast before together. And so just like different, I love our orbits in veterinary medicine because there's, you know, so many different things that we do. And so it was good just to kind of revisit it. And I'm so proud of all the great work that you're doing. So here you are. Okay. So a little information about Kelly, everyone. She started volunteering in veterinary medicine after graduating from the University of Wisconsin with a BS in animal science. She became a licensed veterinary technician in Alaska and then New Mexico, Wisconsin, Virginia. Kelly became certified as a professional in human resources in 2010, completed her MBA from Mississippi State University, and became a veterinary technician specialist in emergency and critical care in 2013. And then Kelly wrote and published, quote, In the Middle, a book for veterinary technicians and management. She's a national and international speaker presenting on leadership, management, and emergency and critical care. She is the CEO of Success Strategies Veterinary Consulting and Chief Advancement Officer at the helm of Vet Tech Life. Previously, she was the Director of DeNova Operations for Mission Veterinary Partners and VP of Operations for Partner Specialty and Emergency Hospitals. She's currently the senior account executive for Team Veterinary Scribes. Kelly's an organizer of the Vet Tech Life CE on C events, which is now in planning for its seventh sailing. She offers courses online in management, technical topics, marketing, presenting, resume review, professional growth, strategies for success through Success Strategies University. That's a mouthful, huh?
I do a few things.
We do. And that's what I love about what we could do, everyone. And that's the point of these podcasts is like when I read your bios, it's also because we have people that will write to us and be like, I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know that was possible. So those bios are, believe it or not, are so crucial to our colleagues because they will reach out to you to learn more about how you got to where you are. So I think it's great.
Okay. I would love that. Yeah.
Right? So good. let's back up and just talk about the basic vocabulary. What are veterinary virtual assistants?
Absolutely. Anything that you can imagine doing virtually, our virtual assistants can do. And honestly, it's one of those situations where now I've seen them in a couple different roles. I've seen virtual assistants in scribing roles, like you mentioned. I've seen them in call center roles. I've seen them do client callbacks. I've seen them do organization of medical notes. You name it, they can do it. And honestly, we've had some virtual assistants at this point who have even helped stand up de novo practices. So really brand new practices, help them create everything from templates to PIMS to putting in charges to applying for business licenses. Crazy stuff.
And so they're physically not there at the practice, just so that we are all aware about this, right?
Right. They are online. So when we're thinking about a virtual assistant, we're really thinking about someone who is joining virtually either through a phone call, through a message channel like Slack or Teams or something along those lines, through a video chat like Teams or Zoom, any number of ways, but they're not physically in the practice.
Okay. Awesome. And how are they utilized?
Every way that you can imagine. Like I said, we have a fair bit of folks who do one of two things. They either use them for scribing or they use them as some type of call center. So either they're taking incoming calls from clients so that we have less calls going overall to our CSCs, and or they're making outbound calls for reminder calls, for client check-ins, for post-surgical updates, for anything along those lines, or both. Those are our two big buckets, is the call help and really getting some of those calls off the front desk, and or some of that scribing help with helping the doctors actually finish their medical records, you know, get their referral letters in, calling other clinics for records, maybe even calling around for a referral appointment with cardiologists or something along those lines, or an MRI, really doing anything that you can imagine to actually help that day flow better. But we also see some kind of one-off roles as well, right? Like we have so many folks apply through my company that we actually supply all kinds of other things, including social media help and things like that.
I mean, you think of there's so many roles that happen throughout the day, like you mentioned, and sometimes they get missed because they're so busy. And, you know, you're patient facing so often and so much. So when you take that away, you know, virtually speaking and whatnot, to some of these tasks that you're talking about, it must take quite a bit off of their plate. And
absolutely.
I would imagine it probably helps with their workflow throughout the day, right?
Think about this. And Adam, I'm hoping that at no point in your career, you had to have too much time spent upfront as a CSR, a client service rep. But if you have, I'd love for you to imagine just a little bit of this. When you're upfront, when you're in front of the clients, you have no opportunity between the ringing phones and the people checking out and the people checking in and taking people to the exam rooms to actually go to the bathroom. Now that cannot breed for a long career, right? Like, I don't know about you, but in practice, I had so much turnover in my CSC staff and I had so much burnout in my CSC staff. And it is really rare to see team members last a long time in those roles because they take the brunt of the abuse. They have to be the front face of the practice and they're constantly doing that while still picking up the phone every 5 minutes, you know, and that becomes a real struggle. And one of the things that I love about the options that we can give is, wouldn't it be amazing if your people could check someone out without having to answer the phone five times? Wouldn't it be amazing if like you had a really great exam visit and as they're checking out, there isn't an extra 20 minutes added to that by phones ringing off the hooks or interruptions?
And what do you say to those who may challenge that to say, well, are they going to replace our current clinic team or we have our call center? It's upstairs. The phones are away from the front desk. We're solid. Like, what does that look like? Or what do you say to that?
It depends a little bit, right? Every practice needs help in a different way. And when you say, hey, my phones are away from my front desk, you know what that mostly means in veterinary practices. It means that it goes and rings to the manager. How is a manager managing? How are we doing appropriate feedback, appropriate performance management, appropriate growth of the practice if the backup for phones is our hospital managers or the backup for phones is unfortunately, you know, falling to our technical staff who really should be holding pets and doing arterial catheters and doing long lines and, you know, doing all of the technical skills that they went to school for. And so I love the idea of the fact that virtual assistants can really be formatted to whatever a practice needs. And not every practice needs help on the phones. Not every practice needs help in scribing, but every practice has something that they could utilize a team member for. And I think that there's a really good question there, right? Like, are they going to take over my job? Well, I don't know of any virtual assistant that can place an IV catheter from Brazil or from South America, right? Like you can't do that. You have to have someone physically doing the technical skills that we really need. You have to think in terms of, I have a job that requires a lot of attention to be placed on the things that are happening in front of me. Here's an opportunity for someone to help me with that so that I'm really paying attention to the things that are actually driving the, you know, driving the revenue and driving the overall patient care in practice.
Yeah. Excellent. And I know that there's a few of these scribe companies out there right now. So how do you choose?
I think one of the things to look for is to really look for how much it's taking off your plate. So one of the things that, you know, that a few of the scribe companies have is really just a fair number of candidates, but those candidates are not screened down for you, are not really honed into what you're exactly looking for. And one of the things that I would look for if I'm looking for a scribe company is I'm really looking for a scribe company that asks me what I need and then goes out and searches for someone specific to that. So very custom hiring. I think one of the things that has been so incredibly eye-opening for me coming into this is I really thought that there was a cookie cutter way that we needed to hire for these team members coming into veterinary medicine. And what I'd say is that every time I've sat on a welcome call, we do these welcome calls where our success manager really gets to the crux of what our clients are looking for. And then our sourcers go through hundreds of hours and 3,000 to 10,000 applicants every single month to try and hone down exactly what they're looking for these clients of ours. And everyone is different. I've had clients come to us and say, hey, I don't need any veterinary experience. In fact, I don't want any experience on the team member that I'm bringing in. Okay, well, that's interesting. They don't want them making any kind of medical judgments. They don't want them influencing any medical judgments. They want all medical questions to reroute back to the hospital. Well, then there are other ones that are very, very in need of veterinary experience, veterinary knowledge. And for them, they're really looking for someone who has all of that and can put all that together. For example, we have a clinic in New York, and that clinic utilizes that person as a scribe. They utilize them for all kinds of back-end work in terms of medical management and things like that. And that's a veterinarian from Brazil, a really phenomenal one, I must add. And so when we're thinking about this, we really have to think about what are we looking for and how do we best fit it to the practice? So bespoke hiring is something that I would absolutely, absolutely say that you should look for in a veterinary virtual scribe company. I think the other thing that you really want to look for is you want to look for a company that actually stands behind things, because frankly, when you're talking about someone who's working remotely, especially from another country, you really need that peace of mind of, hey, does this company have insurance backing me? Do they have data security? Have they vetted these team members well enough to have them come into my PIM system to, you know, have all my client data and things like that? And so you're just really looking for that backup to say, hey, these folks really do fit the mold of security in terms of both client information and just information in general. And I think the third thing that I would really, really look for is just making sure that you've got someone who's supporting you with that team member. There are a ton of different places to get virtual assistants, and a lot of them, you're really out on your own. You're really not paired with someone to help make sure that there's a success between you and that new veterinary virtual assistant. And so with team, I'm really very, very, very pleased to have the folks that I have working with me, Victoria and Monique. They're our success managers. They just make sure that every time I'm talking to someone about one of our virtual assistants, every time one of our virtual assistants is representing them, that they're doing a really, really good job and that they have the feedback that they need to continue doing that.
This has been around in the human side for quite some time now, and I know veterinary medicine is always a little bit behind on that part. And I'll share this with you, as I was just telling you, I went to the doctor's this week, and to make this appointment, it was a virtual assistant out of the country that scheduled this for me. And it was really interesting what I found. This is just my perspective, which it's a good thing in the sense that he really asked very granular questions to see if it was of urgency versus something that can be booked out a little bit longer or whatnot. And which typically is not, it's not like, you know, I'm just here to make an appointment, like, oh, let me see what's available. But he's like, tell me a little bit more about what's going on, you know? And I really appreciated that because he genuinely cared and he wanted to make the right time for the right doctor, you know? And I can imagine that's what it looks like on the veterinary side too, when you're really trying to, at least from scheduling, you know, phone calls, for instance, because we're very control freak, shocker, about that, about our schedules, you know, and you have the same day six and the come down nows and wellness or whatever. But I'm sure that you work with your team to help educate them to, you know, provide that opportunity for them to, if it's something that's an emergency versus come down, because I think of, like, you know, that first phone call is the first line of, you know, of culture and customer service. So it's got to make or break them.
Well, and one thing that I'd say is, you know, I certainly can't speak for other virtual veterinary assistant companies. I just can't. But when I'm talking about what we do with team, we have a bit of a should we say, Lego block build training system that we use with our team members. And so, you know, if they're going to be doing scheduling on a PIM system, hey, they're going to get that Lego block of how to do scheduling on AppMark or how to do scheduling on EasyVet or whatever that looks like. If they're going to be doing client service, they get that Lego block build of, hey, this is how you really make a client feel heard. This is how you turn a conversation. This is how you shorten a conversation. All of those good, like, soft skills that CSEs might need, right? But we pair with the practice as well, right? Every practice ever made on any level has their own SOPs, their own expectations for how they're setting appointments. And if they don't have that piece of, hey, Dr. Smith only likes to see urgent appointments on Monday mornings and won't take anything else, maybe schedule with, you know, Dr. Rodriguez or something along those lines. If we don't have those building blocks from the practice, you know, that's where we really go wrong. So we make sure that we give them all of the building blocks that are necessary to do the job. And then we pair with the practice to make sure that they have the nuances that that role really needs from that practice. And that's where I think it really does kind of have a step up from some of the call center type of suppliers of these services. Because when you think about a call center, you're getting one of 20 people that are rotating through, right? And I think that it's really tough to get to the point of understanding those nuances, of having familiar.
There's a word. With I can't say that word either. I'm glad it wasn't just me.
It's not just you, but familiarity with the clients. You know, they really develop a sense of rapport with the clients. People actually get to the point where, I don't know about you, but every time I call, you know, every time I call someone that I'm really familiar with, and I'm thinking actually about my hair appointments, I really love it when I get the same person because they know who I am and they know what I need and they know how to really think in terms of scheduling for me. And so it's just a little bit of a different thing than if every time I call, I get someone who's brand new, right? Or someone who I don't have that type of comfortability with.
Yeah, you worry about that. Exactly right. You worry about that perception of a revolving door at this practice, you know, yes. Because you're genuinely invested in that team, or I love my doctor, I love the support staff. And wait, how come I'm speaking to this person now? And all of a sudden I just spoke with them yesterday. Now there's somebody else. So there's that perception of, like, what's the culture really like then if this is perceived as a revolving door? So I appreciate that, all that training that you're doing with the teams there. So they're part of that team. It's important.
And I think the practices that are doing this really well actually introduce these team members like they would introduce any other team member that they ever bring in, right? Mm-hmm. When you have a new reception or CSE, you're going to put out a post that says, hey, welcome to Pam, who just started with us. Well, when we have anyone who joins even virtually, that's still a team member. We still want them to have that warm and fuzzy of, hey, I'm getting introduced to the team. Hey, the clients really understand who I am. They really integrate much, much better if we treat them as team members.
Yes, I love that. And speaking of all this innovation, what are some other ones that you suggest for optimization of a practice?
Well, I personally love using every tool in my toolkit. So to be honest with you, there are a lot of really good AI solutions out there. There are a lot of really good direct translation tools out there. And honestly, if you're going to pair, you know, some of these things together, there's so many of them out there. I love things like Pet Desk for automation. I love things like online schedulers that allow us to really, you know, speak to the younger generation and allow them to online schedule direct to our practice software. I really love the idea of integrating the text messaging from Pet Desk. I love the idea of integrating, you know, direct translation transcription, such as Talking Vet. I think that there's just so many different ways that we can really work smarter, not harder. And honestly, I don't think that we work in opposition to any of that. I think that there is really amazing ways to utilize our virtual team members to really augment that. Right? If we're doing something with AI transcription, always have to have that secondarily read by a human, right? Mm-hmm. Just because of the fact that you never quite know what's going to come out of that. And sometimes you get a little more than you bargained for. And generally, when we're thinking about some of these transcription services, if they don't integrate directly into the PIMS, I love the idea of the grab and drag and put them into the PIMS as well. And there are a bunch of different phone systems that have some of that AI integration as well. Like, I love looking for phone systems that have not only the ability to record, but also the ability to summarize our phone calls so that our team is not doing as much typing on the backside to really tell what that client said during their phone call. So lots of different things that we can pair together to really make our practices work so incredibly smooth and fast.
Excellent. Fantastic information, my friend. You know, you mentioned just before we wrap up that you had how many applicants that come?
3,000 to 10,000 per month. Is that not stunning? And I'll tell you why. Like, when we're paying in the dollar and when we're paying what we pay, which is a fair wage in South America, we're actually paying in the top 20% of their overarching wage brackets. Wow. So we get PhDs, we get MBAs, we get folks, we get DVMs who apply to these roles. And we pair with US universities like BYU Pathways Program in order to get the best candidates that we possibly can. Now, we also do other kinds of recruiting, so they're not all from the BYU Pathways Program or from the US programs. But what I'll say is that we get top-notch English out of that type of pairing. We absolutely get really, really qualified team members because of the fact that we're just smothered with choice.
Yeah. I think it speaks volumes to the versatility of the profession too, that maybe some people are just interested in something else. And the fact that obviously you have a good thing going there, which is amazing. So it's a testament.
And we do look at in South America just because of the fact that we get a couple things from that. One of those things is the fact that the time zones match up really, really well. Now, anyone who's listening to this in Australia, we love you too. We have some folks from the Philippines where their time zones actually match up perfectly. And generally, when we're thinking about this too, a lot of our areas need Spanish speaking. So we tend to get a little bit of a usefulness out of the fact that we have a lot of Spanish speaking candidates as well.
That's fantastic. Where can our listeners learn more?
So hireteam.com is our team website. I would love for you to pop over there. There's a really amazing calculator on there that'll actually tell you how much for your area, your specific state or area, how much you can save by utilizing a virtual team member. And honestly, part of what I like to think about when I'm thinking about how much we can save for that is, you know, as we're looking at our super tight labor budgets, how much do we have left in the coffers to give raises and to pay appropriately to our team on the ground and pay appropriately to these team members who are helping from abroad, and how we can pair all that together to make sure that we don't all face burnout.
Yeah, well said, my friend. Well said. Well, thank you for all the great work that you're doing in the profession. So innovative. Love it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for highlighting it. It's been a little bit of a new theory in veterinary medicine, a new option in veterinary medicine. So I think part of this is just being a little bit smarter about the choices that we make.
Mm-hmm. I'm all about working smarter, not harder. Let me tell you.
Well, when you want to work really smart, come join us on Vet Tech Life CE.
Thank you. Because Papa's not getting any younger. I'll tell you that. Well, thank you so much, Kelly Cronin, everyone. Thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you to the listeners for tuning in. Don't forget to rate the podcast as we continue to grow. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast podcast. Take care, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.